top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening, this is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, April 25th, in the headlines. Financial economist and United Workers' Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine announced the first Dominica Economic Revival Summit set for June 4th to 6th, 2024, with a focus on planning for sustainable economic development. Cricket West Indies CWI President Dr. Kishore Shallow underscores the need for collective action and shared responsibility by all stakeholders and authorities to restore the game's former prominence in the region.
Happens wherever it happens.
And in a significant but surprising move, Arizona lawmakers have voted 32 to 28 on Wednesday to repeal a long-standing near-total abortion ban dating back to 1864 that offers no exceptions even in cases of rape or incest. Details coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
The United Workers' Party Dominica team, along with civic organizations that operate under the umbrella of the Electoral Reform Coalition, has launched Dominica's first Economic Revival Summit, scheduled for June 4th to 6th, 2024, at the Jungle Bay Resort, with the theme Planning for Sustainable Development. The summit seeks to tackle enduring economic issues and preview the plans and investment programs for sustainable economic development. Dr. Thompson Fontaine, financial economist and United Workers' Party Team Dominica leader, stressed the detrimental effects of inadequate economic planning on the nation, and especially the negative consequences of relying too heavily on revenues from the CBI program.
Let me just say that we are here for the launch of the Dominica Economic Revival Summit, Planning for Sustainable Development, which is scheduled to be held on 4th to 6th June 2024 at the Jungle Bay Resort in Sufria. Dominica's economy, and by extension its people, have suffered due to a lack of proper economic planning over the years. Failure to plan for sustainable development while focusing exclusively on revenues from the CBI program have resulted in an overall lack of development, failure to create jobs, and the general poor state of the economy that we now see in Dominica. This conference, therefore, in June, aims to bring together experts, professionals in various fields, as well as Dominicans here and overseas, to begin the planning process for sustainable development. This conference will pave the way for the way forward. We'll begin on the evening of the 4th of June with an opening ceremony and awards dinner. At the awards dinner, we will honor 9 outstanding Dominicans who have contributed to our country in an exceptional way in the areas of agriculture, agroprocessing, tourism, the knowledge industry, the blue industry, music, entertainment, sports, and culture. All of these areas, we believe, relevant areas for Dominica's growth and prosperity into the future.
Dr. Fontaine emphasized that following the formal opening award ceremony on 4th of June, the summit will prioritize the major sectors that are the main pillars of the economy, including agriculture, tourism, agribusiness, manufacturing, construction, and renewable energy. He believes that focusing on these areas could significantly elevate Dominica's economic prowess.
Following this awards and official opening ceremony, we will, over the days of the 5th and 6th, look more deeply into those same areas. We'll be examining at length the agriculture sector, the manufacturing sector, the construction sector, and importantly, renewable energy sector, as well as the knowledge industry. We believe that these are the areas that, if they're properly harnessed, can really launch Dominica into the next level of development. And that will be our focus. So during the conference, our experts will help guide the discussion, but we're inviting all of Dominica, the Dominican public, at least 100 persons, to be with us over those 2 days as we sit and plan. The forum will consist of both presentations, formal presentation by our experts, but there'll be an opportunity for interaction and discussion with participants, both who are present with us and those who join us from either outside in Dominica or overseas. We'll ensure that we have the ability to link up seamlessly to individuals who want to make presentations during that time or who wants to contribute to that very important conversation.
And that was United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Businessman Anderson Jolly has weighed in on Dominica's healthcare system, highlighting what he perceives as a crucial gap. He opined that the system appears incomplete, with a disproportionate emphasis on infrastructure development rather than addressing the necessary skill sets and the individual needs of healthcare professionals. Mr. Jolly underscored the importance of establishing robust, universally applicable health standards as a solution to the issues facing Dominica.
I think the system needs quite a bit of work. I think what happens to most of all, I'm a systems person, so I believe in systems. That's how I grew up. I understand them very, very well. I could probably create a system for just about anything. But a system is really not complete here. I think we've spent a lot of time on the hardware, which is like the hospitals, maybe the health centers, but we haven't spent enough time on probably the software, which is the training of the people and the individual needs of that building. We have problems in Dominica with one thing, and I'm going to tell everybody what the one thing is. It's creating good, healthy standards that everybody will follow. It's almost like we walk into Dominica and we tell everybody, build your house facing west. Probably 10% of the people will actually follow that rule. We have a problem creating good standards, standards that people can understand, standards people will follow, really procedures. And I think we've run away a lot of our good medical people as well. Our medical staff is not as well trained as it used to be probably about 10, 20 years ago.
Jolly observed that while Dominica has made strides in technology, there has been insufficient investment in healthcare professionals. He contends that nurses in particular are not adequately compensated for their work, which he deems to be unfair to their profession.
We've moved up in technology, but we've gone down in training. We haven't invested enough into our nurses and into our doctors. I mean, I think it's still unfair what nurses get paid. I think doctors, I've met doctors that have left here. You know why they left here? Because the day before their contract expires, they don't have a new contract, you know? So we've really pushed those people away to more secure systems and systems that appreciate them. I'm going to put it that way, because not that our system is bad, but our system doesn't show appreciation for people. It leaves you hanging. You know, just like right now, you know, in the teaching system, we have a lot of people who are acting, you know. Why not get those people, you know, set up and get those people really in place and give them good, secure feeling about what they're doing? So we've left a lot of people hanging financially. I think we've not paid them what they can make, because they can make a lot of money elsewhere. We've not trained them excessively. We've not spent enough time on our training. I think the last point I probably want to raise is that we've gotten offers for a lot of help and we've refused them over and over and over again. Over and over again, I've heard that I would like to help Dominica. I would like to help train our people. I'd like to help educate our people. And we've turned them down. We've literally flat out turned down people in their face.
businessman Anderson Jolly. Dominica is now entering its bushfire or cowem season, that's May to June, and head of the fire department, Wayne Leiter, reveals that his department has already responded to 60 bushfire calls for 2024.
One of the interesting parts of that data is one which I will spend a little about. It's that of bushfires or brush fires. And I'm going to spend a little time on that simply because this time of the year is a time which is the driest time of the year in Dominica, and locally we call it the brush fire or bushfire season. Not that it's the time when we produce plenty bushfires, but these are the times when a lot of bushfires actually occur. And in 2023, we responded to 117 of those calls. But I'm going to draw a little bit of even more comparison. This year so far, 2024, January to March, we have responded to 60 of those calls. And the brush fire season is just beginning. We expect a long dry spell. And during those time, we expect during the month of May into June that the amount increases.
Speaking at the ODM press conference in Jimet on April 22nd, Mr. Leiter reported that too often some of these fire events are man-made due to improper waste management. He explained how people should clear their land of unwanted bush and trees.
Data tells us that the brush fires which occur are not all naturally occurring. And we are talking about the influence of man. So we are asking persons, asking Dominicans, be aware of the extent that fire damage could come to our communities. So during agricultural practices, we find that a lot of persons use fire to clear the land. We advise as a fire department, clear the land, and you only use fire to get rid of some of the waste after clearing. And that we could say, pile the waste into heaps and burn them by small heaps rather than set the place on fire. We have recognized that a lot of persons are using fire simply to clear the land by setting the land ablaze and it goes, and when it gets out of control, they call the fire department. This, we say, it's a bad practice.
And that was head of the fire department, Mr. Wayne Leiter. On International Girls in Information and Communications Technology, ICT Day, it's celebrated today. CARICOM Secretary General Dr. Carla Barnett delivered a speech addressing the importance of empowering girls and women in the digital landscape. Under the theme Inspiring Youth Innovation, Leading Change in CARICOM, aligned with the global focus on leadership by the International Telecommunications Union, ITU, the Secretary General emphasized the need for a collective shift, empowering both girls and boys to innovate and lead using available tools. This theme underscores a commitment to include youth as change agents safeguarding CARICOM's future. Despite commendable strides, there remains a persistent challenge of a widening digital gender gap globally, with inequalities in access to technology, digital skills, and online opportunities. Women and girls, particularly in developing nations, face disparities in internet access and usage. Moreover, they are significantly underrepresented in science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields, comprising of only 29% of the global workforce in 2023. In the CARICOM region, women are still absent from key areas such as software development, engineering, STEM research, academia, and policy making. Addressing online harassment, cyberbullying, and math anxiety are crucial to supporting girls pursuing digital careers. The President Charities Foundation, Inc., in collaboration with the Beth SDA Methodist Congregation, announces a captivating evening of music and fellowship, the Jazz Vesper event. This gathering will unfold at the State House grounds on April 27 for 2024, starting at 7 p.m. Proceeds from ticket sales will be vital in supporting the President's Charities Foundation Inc. mission to improve the lives of vulnerable groups within Dominica. President Her Excellency Sylvanie Burton invites all Dominicans to attend and support this event.
As President of the Commonwealth of Dominica, it is my privilege to invite you to the Jazz Vesper event at the State House grounds in support of the President's Charities Foundation, Inc. This cause is very close to my heart, aiming to uplift the vulnerable members of our society. Through your support for this event, we will be able to expand our efforts and make a significant difference in many lives. I am deeply grateful to the Bethesda Methodist Congregation for their partnership in this noble initiative. Together, we can contribute to this meaningful cause and embody the change we wish to see in Dominica. I cordially invite everyone to join us on April 27th, 2024 at 7 p.m. for a captivating evening of jazz and spoken word performances. Tickets are priced at $125 each. For ticket purchases or more information, please call 767-266-3333 or reach out to the members of the President's Charities Foundation, Inc. May God continue to bless you all and your loved ones.
And that was Her Excellency, the President of Dominica, Sylvanie Burton. The Dominica Bureau of Standards, in collaboration with Dexia, hopes to streamline efforts to improve the sustainability of the cocoa sector locally and in the Caribbean region by launching a book titled Promoting Quality in the Cocoa Bean to Tea Value Chain. Minister for Agriculture, Fisheries, Blue and Green Economy Roland Royer says cocoa holds significant potential for growth in the agricultural subsector.
Cocoa forms part of the ministry's 5Cs Sustainable Crop Development Program. This crop holds significant potential for growth and development due to its geographic suitability and the farmer's technical capacity. What I mean by 5Cs, I'm referring to cocoa, coconuts, coffee, citrus, and cannabis. This book, Promoting Quality in the Cocoa Bean to Tea Value Chain, is very timely as it provides a blueprint for the sustainable development of cocoa subsector in Dominica. During the period 2019 to 2021, a total of 70 acres of cocoa were rehabilitated. During the period 2019 to 2022, a total of 100,000 plants, which is equivalent to 240 acres, were established. In 2023, 17,000 plants, equivalent to 42 acres, were also established. And so far, 2024, we've provided 15,000 plants, which is equivalent to 37 acres. So that gives us an increase in cocoa establishment of 319 acres over the said period among 266 farmers. Cocoa is therefore well-placed to assist in meeting national goals as an integrated crop in agriculture production through its entire value chain, as its demand keeps increasing locally, regionally, and internationally.
Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries, Blue and Green Economy, Roland Royer. Social scientist Simeon Joseph has praised Rebuild Dominica Inc. for its initiative to sponsor two Dominican students to attend a secondary school in the United States at the Piney Woods Boarding School. He lauds the scholarship not only for offering students the chance to excel academically overseas, but also for providing them with the opportunity to represent their country as youth ambassadors. Joseph emphasizes that applicants must demonstrate a deep understanding of Dominica.
Very important for Dominica. And first of all, let me say we are very happy that the Rebuild Dominica Foundation has been able to partner with Pinewood School. So I want to say it's important for Dominica on two levels. The first level is it gives young Dominican students an opportunity to pursue high school in the United States, and as well to look forward to becoming a young ambassador for Dominica. It is not just an educational scholarship opportunity, We are looking for students who will be able to be shining stars for Dominica in the fields of academics, in the field of sports, in the fields of civic education, and not only that, who are able to represent Dominica as individuals themselves, you know? So they have to have a very strong, in-depth knowledge of Dominica. They have to be skilled, they have to be talented.
Joseph also emphasized the rich history of Piney Woods Boarding School, noting it as the oldest boarding school in the United States. He highlighted its diverse curriculum, enabling students to excel in various subject areas and become well-rounded individuals.
Piney Woods Academy is a very prestigious, long-standing black high school in the United States. As a matter of fact, It is the oldest boarding school in America. It goes back over 100 years. And at Piney Woods, if you do your research on Piney Woods, you will see that it is a very all-rounded school with very high standards, with very high expectations, and it provides all-inclusive education. It is not only about academics. Students are involved in agriculture. Students are involved in social studies. Students are involved in religion. It's a very deeply religious institution. And so that is the second level upon which is going to be very important for Dominica, because we will be there creating that kind of relationship whereby our students grab the opportunity and avail themselves for a very high level of secondary education. And secondly, they will go to Piney Woods, where they will be able to represent Dominica, make Dominica known to an area of the world, and prove to the world and the United States that Dominican students are capable and able to shine above all others, and to not only that, open the door for other Dominicans to come. One of the things I would like to say to the students who are going to Piney Woods for the first time this year is they are going to be trailblazers. They are going to be leading the way. So they have to light a tortuous path that we will set a standard where the expectations for the scholarship.
Social scientist Simeon Joseph. In other news, Cricket West Indies President Dr. Kishore Shallow highlights the intricate challenges facing West Indies cricket, stressing the importance of collaboration among stakeholders for effective solutions. Ahead of his participation in the regional conference on West Indies cricket in Port of Spain, Dr. Shallow emphasized the need for collective action and shared responsibility to restore the game's former prominence in the region. Dr. Shallow stated that while the organization has made considerable progress, setting the stage for a brighter future for West Indies cricket, it is essential to recognize that there is no quick fix addressing the complex challenges facing the sport. He added that it requires sustained effort and participation from all stakeholders involved. He further stressed that meaningful progress cannot be achieved in isolation, urging active engagement and contributions from all stakeholders, including CARICOM governments, territorial boards, and other relevant entities. And in a significant move, Arizona's House of Representatives voted on Wednesday to repeal in the 1864 abortion ban, with the possibility of a repeal going into effect within weeks pending Senate action. The vote, which saw House lawmakers passing the repeal 32-28 votes, highlights the absence of exceptions for abortions, including in cases of rape or incest under the current law.
State lawmakers in Arizona voted on Wednesday to repeal a near total ban on abortion that dates back to 1864. Representatives in the State House voted 32-28 to repeal the law, which provides no exceptions for abortions, even in cases of rape or incest. The law imposes a prison sentence of 2 to 5 years for anyone found guilty of inducing an abortion, except for a doctor who deems it necessary to save the life of the mother. Arizonans must now wait to see how the bill fares in the state Senate, where Republicans hold a slim majority. If the Senate fails to pass the repeal bill in a vote, which could happen as early as May 1st, the ban could go into effect within weeks. Anti-abortion protesters gathered outside the Capitol building in Phoenix to condemn a possible repeal.
And today, in many respects, you could say life lost. And it's a very sad day. It's a very sad day for Arizona.
Arizona's Supreme Court voted in early April to throw out the state's 15-week abortion limit in favor of the Civil War-era statute. For the past 2 weeks, Republicans have blocked efforts by Democrats to repeal the law. But on Wednesday, three Republicans joined Democrats in voting for the repeal. Democrats said they were acting in the interest of most people in Arizona who didn't want the bill on the books. Republican Speaker pro tempore Travis Grantham rallied against the vote result.
This has been turned against one party and used as a weaponization of the issue is disgusting. I hope people are happy now, and I would encourage them to vote no on any further law that expands abortions in our state. I vote no.
Democrats across the country have sought to elevate the issue ahead of November's presidential election. They are confident that public opinion is on their side in supporting abortion rights. 2 years after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that abortion was not constitutionally protected, Arizona is a battleground state and poised to play a key role in November's presidential election.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Financial economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine announced the first Dominica Economic Revival Summit,
local,
set for June 4th to 6th, 2024,
95.
With a focus on planning for sustainable economic development.
Right on cue.
Cricket West Indies president Dr. Kishore Shalo underscores the need for collective action and shared responsibility by all stakeholders and authorities to restore the game's former prominence in the region.
Top of the hour news.
And in a significant but surprising move, Arizona lawmakers voted 42-28 on Wednesday to repeal a long-standing near-total abortion ban dating back to 1864 that offers no exceptions even in cases of rape or incest. I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global.